Welcome to our worship service. When we begin the church year, it's in Advent, the Advent season that starts in December, and we celebrate Christmas. Then the next season of the year is called the Epiphany season. Epiphany means Jesus appearing or showing. It's that time between Christmas and Lent when Jesus is showing himself to be God's Son. Tonight we're going to see that as we study Jesus' baptism and how he showed that he was more than just a man, but by the events of the baptism showed that he's part of the triune God. What a blessing for us to understand that same thing about our own lives. We've been baptized, we've had that opportunity, and we have all the blessings because of it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. My brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. We press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your one and only Son to be the light of the world. Through your word and sacraments, may Jesus be known, worshipped, and believed to the ends of the earth. We pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading is an Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 7. These verses describe Jesus as our servant who comes here so that he can serve us as our Savior and give us the salvation that we need. Jesus comes to do that, to show his grace, but it isn't just for us, it's for all people. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I am placing my spirit on him. He will announce a just verdict for the nations. He will not cry out. He will not raise his voice. He will not make his voice heard in the street. A bent reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not snuff out. He will faithfully bring forth a just verdict. He will not burn out, and he will not be broken until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his law. This is what the true God says, the Lord who creates the heavens and stretches them out, who spreads out the earth and everything that it produces, who gives breath to people on it and life to those who walk on it. I have called you in righteousness. I will hold on to your hand and I will guard you. I will appoint you to be a covenant for the people, to be a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring the prisoners out from the dungeon, and to bring those who sit in darkness out of prison. Our psalm reading for tonight is Psalm 25. This is a wonderful psalm where we ask the Lord not to guide ourselves, but to follow the Lord's guidance in our lives each day. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. Our second scripture lesson is from Acts chapter 10. The Jews were God's chosen nation, and they received the prophets and the Ten Commandments and all the instruction that God wanted them to have in the Old Testament. Well, now in the New Testament, as Jesus sent out his disciples like Peter, they went to other people. And in this Bible reading, it's a man named Cornelius, who's a Gentile. God's love and his plan of salvation is for the entire world, and that's what Jesus came to do. Then Peter began to speak. Now I really am beginning to understand that God does not show favoritism, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. He sent his word to the people of Israel, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. God's word for our encouragement are the verses of the gospel lesson from Luke 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to be baptized by John at the Jordan. But John tried to stop him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, because it is proper for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then John let him. After Jesus was baptized, he immediately went up out of the water. Suddenly the heavens were opened for him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and landing on him. And a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with him." A lot of people, when they want to keep certain things, certain memorabilia around, they might create for themselves a keepsake box. My wife has one of those. It's a special box made out of wood. I've seen them, just cardboard boxes that people have. A keepsake box isn't containing things that are all that valuable in a money form, but the things that people want to keep for themselves. Maybe it's a certificate of some kind. Maybe it's a diploma of some kind. Maybe it's a letter from a grandparent or from a grandchild or something else like that that's special. Well, you look back on those things and you remember what happened at that time and that circumstance, and it's an encouragement, especially if it's something from a family member. Well, as Christians, we could have a keepsake box too for our Christian life. Our baptism, our confirmation, Christian marriage, so many things that God blesses us with. And it's good to remember those things. Sometimes we think we're done with our baptism, for example, and then we can go on to other things. And yet we're never really done with it. It's changed our lives, and it's something that you and I can enjoy every single day. Well, tonight we're going to spend some time talking about Jesus' baptism, and then we'll have the opportunity to talk about our own baptism. And whether it's Jesus or us, there's one thing that we know that's true of any baptism, and that is that baptism is God showing his love for us. He certainly did that for Jesus, and he certainly shows his love for us in our baptisms as well. From the time that Jesus is born until the time that he begins his earthly ministry is about 30 years. We hear very few things from the time that Jesus is born until he's 30. He's born on Christmas, we celebrated that, and then after that, Jesus is presented in the temple. Shortly after that, he's visited perhaps by the wise men first, and then he has to flee to Egypt. Remember how Herod was going to kill all the baby boys in Bethlehem? And then we hear about Jesus at age 12 in the temple talking to the Bible scholars. And after that, from age 12 until age 30, those 18 years, we don't hear anything until it comes time for Jesus' baptism. And his baptism was really the time when he was going to begin his earthly ministry. So Jesus knows what's happening. He knows John the Baptist is preparing the way for him. And so he leaves the region of Galilee, and he's going to go find John down at the Jordan River. Well, John the Baptist knows who Jesus is. He knows the prophecies about him coming into the world. And we know what John has said about Jesus already. He doesn't feel worthy to untie the sandals of Jesus. Sometimes people thought that John was so special. Maybe he was the Messiah. But John was telling people, I'm not the Messiah. I can't even untie or won't untie his sandals. And then when Jesus comes for baptism, John doesn't feel worthy to do that either. In fact, John doesn't even think that Jesus needs to be baptized. He's the perfect Son of God, the Savior of the world. So when Jesus comes to John at the Jordan River, John seems to be confused. And you heard it in our Bible reading. John says, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me. He didn't understand. Why would Jesus come for baptism? Well, here's how Jesus answers that question that John had. He said, let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. What Jesus was really saying is, John, this is the right thing to do, because this is part of my Father's plan of salvation. Obviously, Jesus doesn't need to be baptized. He has no sin. But he is there to set an example for other people, and that would help. If Jesus was baptized, he's showing the importance of it. But even more important than that, at Jesus' baptism, people would see that he's more than just a man. The Father speaks, God the Father, the Holy Spirit is there, taking the form of a dove. Jesus came not just to do things for himself, he came to take the place of all people and to do whatever his Father asked of him. And he was willing to do that. He was willing to do whatever his Heavenly Father wanted because Jesus is following this plan of salvation. That's why he's come. He wants to save the world from sin. When John understands that, then he's willing to baptize Jesus. As Jesus begins his earthly ministry, there's something that's changing for him. I don't know if you remember studying in confirmation class about active obedience and passive obedience. Jesus' active obedience was from his birth until age 30. Where he's just living a normal life, doing so perfectly, following his Father's plan. But now in his earthly ministry, he's going to be preaching and teaching and performing miracles, but he's going to allow things to happen to him. He's going to allow people to disrespect him and mock him for who he is and the claims that he makes as God's Son. Especially during that last week of Jesus' life, he's going to allow his enemies to betray him. He's going to allow Peter to deny him 3 times and even take an oath. He's going to allow the suffering and the death and the burial. He's going to go along with all of it because he knows that that's his Father's plan of salvation. and he was willing to do it. God the Father was willing to send Jesus, and Jesus was willing to be a part of it. And then think about what happens when Jesus is baptized. He comes up out of the water. He got baptized. We're not sure if he got dunked under the water or had the water sprinkled on him. God the Father speaks, and he says some really important things. He says, "This is my Son, God's Son. This is my Son whom I love." God wasn't sending Jesus here as some kind of a punishment. He loves his Son. "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." In other words, the work that Jesus had done from his birth until now was what his Father wanted him to do. And then the Holy Spirit is there, taking the form of a dove, landing on Jesus, showing people that he's more than just a man, but also the Son of God. Jesus did whatever was necessary to carry out this plan of salvation. 30 years of living a normal life, so to speak, here on earth, and now his 3-year ministry where he carries out the rest of his Father's plan of salvation. God the Father showed his love for Jesus at his baptism, and he does the same thing for you and me. He shows us his love. On New Year's Day, we reviewed our Christian life and we talked about baptism. Baptism is one of those two sacraments that has three characteristics. It's instituted or started by Jesus. A sacrament forgives our sins, and a sacrament has an earthly element that's connected to it. And of course, we have the two, Holy Baptism and Holy Communion. To baptize simply means to wash with water. In Bible times, I think a lot of people were dunked in the water, dunked in the Jordan River. There's all kinds of ways that you can baptize people. God doesn't specify. Well, we choose to use a baptismal font. If there were a baptism, that would be over here in the center, and the basin would have water in it. And we choose that because it's convenient. We don't have to wait for warm weather to have a baptism. If the lakes are frozen or the river's frozen, we can have it right here in church. It's also dignified. We're having a baptism here in God's house. It's also something that's a benefit to other people. Even if we don't know the family where the baptism is involved, it's a reminder of our own baptism. That's part of the baptism service, and it's an encouragement to see someone else come to faith. So we choose to use the baptismal font because of those reasons. Think of what happens if someone was going to have a baby baptized, let's say. The parents would talk to the pastor and they would pick a date. The pastor would incorporate the baptism into the service and pick a baptism hymn. The ladies could make their stitchery for the child, and then I make a certificate, and then there's a baptismal napkin. And right at the beginning of the service, we gather around the baptismal font. The parents may choose to use a witness that says they saw the baptism take place, or they may choose to have sponsors or godparents, and that's really important. You remember this about sponsors, that they do 4 things for the child that's being baptized. They remind the child that it's baptized in case that child ever starts living apart from their faith. They assure that child that it's been baptized if it's ever in doubt or uncertain. They pray for that child. And the 4th thing a sponsor does for that child is they promise the parents, mom and dad, that if something would happen to them, they'll take care of that child spiritually. And for that reason, it's really important to have sponsors that share your faith so that that can be carried out if that would ever happen. Think about what happens when that baby gets baptized. The second that it happens, all their sins are forgiven. The second that it happens, they have faith in their heart. The very second that they're baptized, they have a home in heaven. And it's not just symbolized. The Bible says that those blessings are given immediately. Simple water is applied to their forehead in the name of the triune God. It's such a simple sacrament, and the emphasis isn't on the water or the pastor's hand. It's on the power of God's word to create faith and to give all those blessings of faith. And what a blessing it is for us to remember our baptisms. Maybe your baptism happened a long time ago. Maybe it isn't all that long ago. In thinking about your baptism, you're reminded of certain things. I'm reminded that I am forgiven because of my baptism. I am reminded that I'm a child of God, and I have a home in heaven that's waiting for me because of my baptism. I'm also reminded that I'm a child of God, and God expects me to live in a certain way now that I have my faith and that I'm part of His family of believers. All those things are involved in baptism. So it's not something that we just put in the keepsake box and forget about. It's something that we want to remember because it's so meaningful to us, what God has done for us through this simple sacrament to really change our lives and give us those wonderful memories and reminders of God's love. I have people ask me questions about baptism all the time, not necessarily church members, but others. Some have asked me what happens if someone dies without baptism. And that can happen. Someone doesn't have the opportunity for baptism. Jesus tells us in Mark 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's only unbelief that condemns someone. God gives baptism to us that creates faith through God's power, but God can create faith in anyone that He chooses, and we trust Him to care for those who die without the benefit of baptism. Some have asked me, how often do you need to be baptized? And the Bible tells us just once, because the promises that God makes in baptism are always there for us. If I stray away from the Lord for 10 years and I come back, I don't need to be rebaptized. Those same blessings that God promised me the first time, those are still there. What if someone is uncertain if they've been baptized? Well, in that case, I would baptize them so that they are certain. That's not something that you want to doubt. Maybe the most common question that I've heard talks about, who do we baptize? Why do we baptize babies? Well, the Bible gives us three reasons to do so. Jesus said to go and make disciples of all nations, and babies are part of a nation, so we baptize them. Babies are conceived and born in sin. They might be beautiful and cute and cuddly when they're born, but they're sinners and they need baptism. And the third reason the Bible gives us, and Jesus talks about this in Luke 18, He says, don't stop the children from coming to me. Don't hinder them. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Well, how do you belong to God's kingdom? You believe. So for those three reasons, they can believe, they're sinful, they're part of God's command. We're happy to baptize babies and to show them God's undeserved love and blessing like He wants us to. What a privilege it is for us to have our baptism and to have God the Father show His wonderful love for us, all the many ways that He's taken care of us and has made us part of His family of believers. If you grew up in a Christian household, there were certain things that your parents wanted to have done. They wanted you to get baptized. They wanted you to get confirmed in your faith. They wanted you to stick with your faith your whole life long. When you're a Christian, it covers every single aspect of your life here. While not everyone has that opportunity, I'm sure you know people that maybe haven't been baptized or don't have faith or don't understand what the Bible's teachings are. There's a lot of people that don't understand really anything about spiritual things. And that can lead you and I to two wrong conclusions about people. Sometimes the devil wants us to think that we're pretty good because look at me, I've been baptized. I've got my faith. I'm a Christian. But I didn't do anything for it. It was all God coming to me. It's not my reason to be proudful because I'm just a sinner. God had showed His grace to me and brought me to faith. The other temptation that the devil would like us to have when it comes to us being baptized and others not being baptized is just to write people off and think, well, they're not baptized. They're not going home to heaven. You know that I baptized one lady who was 86 years old and a man who was 89 years old? It's never too late for anyone as long as they're here on this earth. And you and I should never write anyone off, so to speak, thinking that it's too late for them, or there's nothing that can be done, because we never know what can be done. The Lord gives them the opportunity, and we can be a part of that. Rather than be prideful or write people off, God wants us to be humbled by our baptism. We didn't deserve it. We can't earn it, but He gives it to us as a means of becoming part of His family of believers. And He has shown that love to us, and He wants you and I to show that love for others. What blessings Jesus has in His baptism, what blessings you and I have in ours. Thank the Lord that He has shown us His love in holy baptism. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please join in our confession of faith. We'll be using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will continue with our prayers. Heavenly Father, we thank You for revealing Yourself at the baptism of Jesus. There You declared the one born at Bethlehem and adored by the wise men to be Your dearly loved Son, in whom You are well pleased. Enable all of us to find in Jesus our hope and our salvation. As You anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, so pour out that same Spirit on us, that we may serve You in this world. Take from us all fear and doubt, overcome our laziness and indecision, and drive the ugliness of sin from our lives. Open our eyes to the glorious truth that as Your baptized children, we are Your servants here in this world. Grant Your strength and blessing to all pastors, teachers, and missionaries. May they proclaim Your word with fervor and diligence, and to bring the light of faith to those who sit in darkness. In Your mercy, bring help and healing to the sick and the afflicted, and by Your grace, enable them to cast their cares on You. We pray this in Your name as we also join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, Almighty God, we thank You for teaching us the things that You want us to believe and do. Help us by Your Holy Spirit to keep Your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with His favor and give you peace. Amen.